This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Do you love music? Then you need to visit Shearer's Music Works.
From aspiring guitarist to touring pianist, Shearer's caters to musicians of all chords. In store, you'll find an amazing range of instruments and print music, and if your instrument needs a tune-up, they have on-site repair and servicing. Shearer's Music Works on Anglesey Street, Hamilton. Your total music store.
Proud sponsor of the Back Porch Bluegrass Show on Free FM.
This is a replay of a show first aired in September 2021 and features an interview with USA musician Jeremy Stevens.
Welcome to another edition of Back Porch Bluegrass. I'm your host, Paul Trenwith, and I have a different show lined up for you today, and it's a great show. I'm very excited about it. On the show, I'll be interviewing via telephone from the USA, Jeremy Stevens. And the reason for the interview is he's just got a new album out called How I Hear It. It's a great album. I've thoroughly enjoyed playing it, and I had a great time talking to Jeremy as well. So, I suppose you'd call it an in-depth interview, because not only did I ask the sort of questions that I thought you would be interested in as listeners, but I asked all the sorts of questions that I was interested in the answers to. And I had a great time talking to Jeremy, and in between times on the interview, we're playing some tracks from the album. I can heartily recommend the album. It comes out on Rebel CD 1877, and well, you'll hear all about it. So without any further ado, let's kick it off with the opening track of the album. It's a old Don Reno tune called Sock Eye, and we'll just get straight into that.
Thank you.
Well, I'm Paul Trenwith, and I'm talking with Jeremy Stevens of the band High Fidelity for Back Porch Bluegrass on Free FM 89.0. High Fidelity has been featured regularly on Back Porch Bluegrass, and Jeremy has just issued on Rebel Records a new solo album entitled How I Hear It. So I'm taking this opportunity to find out more about him and his music. Hi, Jeremy. Welcome to Back Porch Bluegrass.
Hi, Paul. Thank you so much for having me on. It's such an honor.
Oh, it's a real thrill for me, I tell you. I've got all sorts of questions here, so if you don't want to answer any of them, just say nope, and we'll get on to the next one. Okay, what influenced you to bring out an album of your own special tastes in music rather than a band project?
Well, you know, I got connected with Rebel Records about 20 years ago when I was 16, 17 years old, and I did a project with them then under my own name, Jeremy Stevens, Scarlet Banjo, it's called.
Right.
And, you know, so that was my first and only solo project for many years. And I had, you know, we'd started, of course, with my connection with Rebel Records and all. They knew me, and High Fidelity started performing, and they contacted me and wanted High Fidelity. And, you know, so we went that direction, and they've been just wonderful folks to be involved with.
Excellent.
The Freedmans, Mark and Dave Freedman, are great folks. And, you know, we had a couple projects with High Fidelity under our belts on Rebel, and a project we'd done ourselves prior to that. And I just really felt strongly that it was time for me to do something that was a solo project myself that would be in conjunction, you know, with High Fidelity, and that we could feature and sell my albums on High Fidelity shows as well. And that's sort of what led me to this project. And I'd had several things I'd wanted to do, and a lot of folks in our shows had asked if I had an album, you know, that featured my banjo playing and that sort of thing. And all of those things sort of collided in my mind, and I said, I need to do this. So it seemed to be the right time. Talked to Mark at Rebel, and he was excited about it as well. So that's sort of how it came to be.
Oh, fantastic. Karina's got her own fiddle album out, so I suppose you definitely deserve to at least to have a current one of your own out. You've got 14 tracks on this new album, and they're all quite special. How long did it take you to collect the tracks that you wanted to record?
Oh, that's a tough question, because I always have things that I'm thinking about, and song, little pet songs that I've loved down through the years, and many of those we've done in High Fidelity, and I still had some that I still wanted to do. And so you could say a lifetime might be the answer to that, but you know, because they were already sort of there. But I really I took probably a couple of years and had a running note in my phone, in my iPhone, of songs for my bluegrass solo album.
Right.
And every time I would think of one, I would type it in there, you know, and I had a pretty lengthy list by the time we came to be ready to record, and I had to sort of par that down a good bit.
So that's
how I did it, just a little bit at a time.
Yeah, that was one of my questions. Were the many selections left out that didn't make the final cut?
Yeah, that's always the case for just about any record, it seems. There were none that were recorded that didn't make it. We released everything that we recorded.
Okay, yeah. Okay, great. I love the way that you kept it clean and uncluttered, but with your vocal and instrumental abilities, were you constantly tempted to add more to each track, or were the arrangements carefully pre-planned?
It's probably some of both. Certain songs I had very specific things that I wanted done on, and there were others that I had some temptation to do more, I suppose.
Yes.
And Karina, I asked her to be a producer on the album to sort of help rein in some of that on me, because I have a tendency to want to put all these weird instruments that might be outside of the bluegrass box a little bit. I love old-time music, and I'm I always want to incorporate elements from that.
Yeah.
On the project. There's another version of one of the songs that it's the same recording, but I had actually added a pump organ, a reed organ in the background.
Yes.
But we decided not to put that on the final album. That was actually on Bells of St. Mary's. Maybe at some point Rebel will release that as a bonus track or something for download.
Okay.
We talked about doing that. And in fact, it's hard for me now when I even listen to Bells of St. Mary's. I hear the organ on it when I'm listening to it, you know.
Yeah.
But so there were things like that. But most of them I pretty well had it planned out exactly how I wanted it. And I had to do it that way, really, because I'm playing a lot of the instruments on it, so it had to be planned if I was going to be doing overdubs and things like that. So by the time we went in there and tracked them, I knew pretty well what was going to be, you know, going down.
Okay. Well, I think it's time we ought to play another track from the album, and you can choose it. What would you like to choose? I've already played on my radio show You'll Be Lonesome Too, which is rapidly becoming one of my favourite songs, so we'll...
Well, that's wonderful.
Yeah. So pick a track for us.
How about Lady Hamilton?
Tell us a bit about Lady Hamilton.
Yeah, so that song, I first heard it performed by Don Reno on his Golden Guitar album that was first released quite a few years after Don's death. They found it, I guess, in the archives at Starday Records, and it was just a project he'd done on a whim when I think Phil Harrell had laryngitis or something like that, and so he did a session of guitar tunes. He recorded that on there. He called it Lady Hamlet, I'm assuming because maybe he forgot the actual title was Lady Hamilton. Some years later, my friend Robert Montgomery, who plays banjo with David Davis and the Warrior River Boys, he's an avid collector of everything Grand Ole Opry.
Yes.
And he sent me an air check of Tommy Magnus in the 1940s playing Lady Hamilton.
Okay.
And, of course, Tommy Magnus and Don Reno were associated together in the early 50s and played a lot of music together. And I heard that and I thought, wow, Don really retained the melody of that song. He had to have learned that from Tommy Magnus. So on my version here, Karina's playing the fiddle, and I had her, asked her if she would learn the way Tommy Magnus played it. And she's playing the Tommy Magnus version, and I'd been playing it as a mandolin tune and doing some cross-picking on it.
Yes.
And I knew I had to get a banjo break on there somewhere or another, so sort of one of the last things I had planned on that was how I was going to do my banjo solo, and I got that worked out. We recorded it live except for with the banjo. I had to overdub banjo on that, and I really love it. I hope the folks will enjoy listening to it as well.
Here comes Lady Hamilton. That was Lady Hamilton from How I Hear It by Jeremy Stevens. Jeremy, tell me, will High Fidelity learn some of these tracks so you can perform them at your shows? And if so, do you expect the band to perform them just as they sound on the album?
Well, we try to do that. We've already performed a few of them. We performed Lady Hamilton, actually. We played in San Diego, California a few weeks ago, and I played mandolin on stage on that tune, and Kurt Stevenson was there with us. He played the banjo, and he shocked me because I said, you know, let's try Lady Hamilton. Well, Kurt already knew my banjo solo without us ever talking about doing it. We just did it, and he already knew how I played the solo pretty, really closely. And Ron Shuffler, the younger brother of George Shuffler,
yes,
was actually filling in for Vicky. I mean, he had my album, and he already knew the song, too. And, of course, Karina did.
Yes.
We just, we run it a few times, and we did that on stage. It turned out great. We've been performing Could I Knock on Your Door on a very regular basis. And also, two weekends ago, we performed Since Wedding Bells Have Rung.
Oh, good.
And I think those are the only ones. Oh, we've also done I'll Be Happy in My Home. Well, I can't expect everyone to do it exactly as we have it recorded, but hope that it's, you know, close enough that it's featuring it enough for people to be interested to come by the record table and pick one up. And it certainly has worked well that way.
Ah, you talked about it. Let's play Could I Knock on Your Door now. Tell us a little bit about that song.
This was written by a dear friend of mine, Cecil Hall, who passed from this life just right before I started rehearsing for the album. I hate that he didn't get to hear it, but I know he was. I told him I was going to record this song and also That Glorious Day, which his sister wrote. And I know he was glad to know that. And Cecil had played in the 1970s with Charlie Munro.
Right.
His band, Cecil's band, had sort of backed Charlie. And Cecil did a bunch of booking for Charlie at that time. And I got to know Cecil in the early 2000s and played in his band. And Cecil was a great songwriter and just a really gracious and generous person. And it's a blessing for me to be able to carry some of his music forward today.
Oh, fantastic. That's a great story. Here comes Jeremy Stevens and the song Could I Knock on Your Door.
Once again on your door to search for the love that I'm looking for. Losing you was a shame, though we both were to blame. Could I knock once again on your door? My love for you I know will never die. Makes no difference what I do or how I try. My mind goes back to you again once more. Could I knock once again on your door? Could I knock once again on your door to search for the love that I'm looking for? Losing you was a shame, though we both were to blame. Could I knock once again on your door? We're always together, it seems. We had plans for the future and our dreams. You were someone that a man could adore. Could I knock once again on your door? Could I knock once again on your door to search for the love that I'm looking for? Losing you was a shame, though we both were to blame. Could I knock once again on your door? bounced again on your door to search for the love that I'm looking for. Losing you was a shame, though we both were to blame. Could I knock once again on your door? Could I knock once again on your door?
That was Could I Knock on Your Door by Jeremy Stevens and the band. I've got some more questions for you, Jeremy. You talk about your Gibson Mastertone, your Bowtie Gibson Mastertone and your Vigavox banjo. How do you decide which banjo to play on a particular track?
Yeah, so, and I will add too that there's a third banjo on this project, which is Don Reno's original five-string flathead. Wow. RB-75. I was very blessed to be able to borrow it from Don Wayne Reno to use on the project, as well as Don's herringbone, Martin,
yes,
which belongs to Marty Stewart. And Marty loaned me that. I'm playing it on, I think, three or four songs on the album as well. And to answer your question, it comes down to me more about the sound of the banjo, the sustain that it has, and how I'm playing on a given song as to which one I choose to play. Or, in the case of Don Reno's banjo, I wanted to use it on songs that Don had used it on, of course. So it's on Since Wedding Bells Have Rung. It's on Sockeye. I used it on That Glorious Day also, which I patterned after some of Reno and Smiley's recordings,
yes,
from the late 1950s.
Right.
So, that's my reasoning for that instrument. My bow tie is my primary banjo. It's the one I'm most comfortable playing it on anything. So it's the primary one used on the album. The Vagavox, I fell in love with Vagavoxes with my mentor, Troy Brammer, who I talk about in the liner notes of the album. He had a Vagavox. He also had a bow tie. Has, I should say, he's still living.
Right.
And there are certain songs that he recorded on with his Vagavox, and I've heard that sound so much. And a couple of those songs I recorded also. The old Spinning Wheel, I'm playing the Vagavox on.
Oh, yeah.
I can't think right off the top of my head some of the others, but that's definitely a one that I had to have that sound on, you know.
Yeah, okay.
That's sort of some basis of where I come from with choosing instruments.
Yeah, I've got a Baldwin Ode from 1969, and which has been my number one banjo all through my playing life, and that is just so comfortable to me. And I've also got a Gibson Mastertone Earl Scruggs from the late 1980s, and it's a lovely banjo, and I like everything about it, except that when the final choice is made, I'll always choose the Baldwin Ode. So
I understand. You know, it's what you're used to.
Yeah, yeah.
And those are great banjos too.
Yeah. Oh, this one has been great for me. Really enjoyed it. What's the process when you're recording with guest musicians like Hunter Berry in particular? Do you send them a rough take of the song and tune and suggest how you'd like it to sound, or do you let them work it out in the studio or at a rehearsal? How do you do it?
It depends. You know, I generally choose the musicians that are naturally going to play how I hear it.
And, well, that's a good answer, yeah. Love it.
Right. So, and that's really kind of the basis of what this whole album is. And so I very strategically chose the people. So I wanted a Benny Martin flavor on certain songs, and Hunter is sort of the natural choice for that, because you know, he was sort of a understudy of Benny Martin when he was in his teens, and
yes,
he's been a friend for a long time. And so, I still, you know, sent him reference recordings and sort of told him what I was looking for, but didn't have to guide very much. I wanted to record the instrumentals live as much as possible, because
yes,
I find that my banjo playing is best in a live setting. I'm more creative. So I pulled in David Greer to play rhythm guitar, and David was playing, you know, he sort of knows how I, he's heard me play guitar a lot, and he kind of knows
yes.
the style that I like, and I talked to him about that, and he was very willing to sort of play in that direction, and he did a wonderful job. I thought for a long time about who should I get to play rhythm guitar, who should I get, and he kept coming to my mind, and talked to him, and he was very gracious and willing to play to the style.
Oh, that's that,
and the Mike Bubb. Yeah. Bubb's wonderful. You know, he just kind of goes in there, and what he does is generally what I like. He's one of my favorites out there today. And Karina's wonderful. We love the same stuff, you know.
So. Do you try and tell her what to play on fiddle, or does she always come up with the right? I was married to a fiddle player. That's why I ask.
Well, you know, I played. Banjo on her, not all the tracks, but I play banjo on both of her solo albums, the one Wind Caught My Bike, that's her original material, and also her, actually I didn't play on her Bluegrass Fiddler album, I played guitar, but I did quite a bit on Wind Caught My Bike, and I told her, I said, you tell me what you want, and I'm going to do it to the best of my ability, and she told me what she wanted, and it was not easy, and I had to work. So when my record came along, it was my turn. So we worked it out. She was amazing. She did wonderful. I had some really specific things that I wanted, and she was so gracious and willing to do those things. And I'm really happy. She got to do some of her stuff as well, and kind of mixed it all in there.
Yeah. Oh, I just love the blend of you two. Let's find a song that you're both singing on and play that for everybody, eh?
What's Sounds your, great.
I'm Lonesome? Should we do I'm Lonesome?
Oh, you said one that we're both singing on? Is that what you said?
Yeah, I can't. I just need to look up to find. Yeah, I want her singing too.
Oh, okay. That Glorious Day is one that maybe you hadn't played. It's a gospel song. That's sort of one I really did in the late 50s Reno and Smiley vein, and she's singing all the choruses with me on that one.
Let's do that one, That Glorious Day. Tell us just a little bit about this one.
This one was written by Cecil Hall's youngest sister, Mary Ann. Performed it with Cecil, and I always really heard it in this Reno and Smiley vein, and it was a great song. I love the message in it, and I wanted to have a fresh song that people hadn't heard, and do it in a way that really fit an older style, and that's pretty much the basis of it.
It's here, That Glorious Day from Jeremy Stevens from the album How I Hear It.
The graves of loved ones so dear. My heart was breaking, my eyes filled with tears. But the promise of God brought sweet peace to me. For he said in his word, where I am, there you'll be. On that day, that glorious day, the dead in Christ shall rise. On that day, that glorious day, I'll meet them in the sky. Dead in Christ shall rise up first. They'll join the redeemed that's still here on earth. Death cannot stop them, the grave can't hold them down. Blessed hope in Jesus, who wears the victory crown. On that day, that glorious day, the dead in Christ shall rise. On clouds and calls his children home. When the Savior says come, I won't have to go alone. For on that day, that glorious day, we'll meet with the Savior forevermore to stay. On that day, that glorious day, when the dead in Christ shall rise. On that day, that glorious day, I'll meet them in the sky.
That was Jeremy Stevens from the album How I Hear It, a gospel song, That Glorious Day. I understand how important CDs are to sell to fans at festivals and live appearances, but in these days of restricted events, where do you find most of your sales come from? Band sales or retail mail order outlets or online or iTunes? Where do you sell your music?
Well, I have a website, jeremystevensmusic.com, and that's JeremyStevensMusic, jeremystevensmusic.com. And so it can be purchased on there. But actually, about the time my album came out or I had them in hand, we were starting to do some performances here again in the U.S., and the late summer has proven to be very busy for us, and which we're very grateful for, and it's everything's been safe. I don't know of anyone that's gotten ill from any of the concerts, which all of which, save maybe one, have been outdoor events, and those have turned out very well for us. So actually most of our sales this year have been done just the way they have been in the past, at the record table at festivals and such.
Oh, that's good. That's good news. It's always a challenge these days. I find that I'm something of an old timer by choosing to use CDs and my vinyl albums for my radio show rather than going online and just downloading stuff. And I just like to have the product in my hand and look at it and see the pictures and read every word on it. And so I love the covers of albums as well as the music on them. And so I'm an old timer. So there's still a few of us left.
Oh, I'm one right along with you. I've got several thousand LPs, 78s and 45.
Oh, great. I've got kids who are probably about your age, and they all play music, and I don't think they even own CD players anymore because they're such old technology.
Right.
Oh, it's terrible. I've just purchased and received the Donna and Ronnie Stoneman CD, The Legend Continues, on which you and Karina are support musicians. Do you often play as session musicians?
Not a whole lot, though we do occasionally, and we've been very blessed to be friends with the Stonemans, and I and Tom Minty, who at Patuxent Records, who put that album out, actually, and so Tom has used me quite a bit, and we do sessions in and around Nashville at different times for different folks, but it's not primary. We'd love to be doing it more, of course.
Yeah.
It's been an honor. I have myself played on the last three projects that the Stonemans have done, and it's just been a real blessing to be around those ladies. They're just wonderful, wonderful people.
I saw the Stonemans in 1971 when I was in the USA, and we were staying with Mike Seeger, and he took us to see them, and it was playing outside at a sort of fair day in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, I think it was, and they were playing on an outdoor stage, and I remember watching them and just being very impressed with their playing. And At that time, I hadn't realised what part of the dynasty of the Stoneman families they were and how important they were to bluegrass music. So it's a real privilege to catch their show. Let's pick another tune to play, Jeremy. Beautiful Blue Eyes is a great song. I knew that as a real old-time song way back before I even played bluegrass music.
Right. So I pulled in a friend, Danny Davis, in to sing on this one. This is the only song that we recorded quite a bit before I actually did the sessions for the album. So this is the first one I had in mind, and put together a little session back in 2017, actually, and recorded this. And I just kind of held on to it the last few years. And Danny, he's a great singer from Grayson, Kentucky, and he's sort of from that, I guess he was raised maybe in the region of Ohio, where a lot of the folks from Kentucky moved up there to work in the steel mills and that sort of thing. Yeah. And Joe Mullins has a project called Industrial Strength Bluegrass out right now, and there's a book as well that talks about that whole region. And Danny is from that. And a great singer, sort of sings in the style of Red Allen. And Red Allen had recorded this song about 1960, and he had Don Reno playing banjo.
Oh, yeah.
And on it for Stardé Records. And, boy, I always loved that cut. So I was really thrilled to be able to sort of do my version of it with Danny Davis.
Oh, well, let's hear it. Here comes Jeremy Stevens from the album How I Hear It with Beautiful Blue Eyes.
Beautiful, beautiful blue eyes. Beautiful, beautiful blue eyes. Beautiful, beautiful blue eyes. I'll never love brown eyes again. Darling, my darling, I love you. Staggers, he fell down by the door, and the very last words that he uttered was he'll never get drunk anymore. Beautiful, beautiful blue eyes. Beautiful, beautiful blue eyes. Beautiful, beautiful blue eyes. Without you, it's just not the same since you gone. In dreams, your arms are about me. It's so hard to face each dawn. Beautiful, beautiful blue eyes. Beautiful, beautiful blue eyes. Beautiful, beautiful blue eyes. I'll never love brown eyes again.
Your liking for Reno and Smiley is really interesting because they were a really big influence on my music in the early days. And I think I mentioned that we recorded back in 1968, I think it was, Barefoot Nelly and Never Get to Hold You in My Arms Anymore. And we loved it. Yeah, I tried to do Don Reno's double banjo style and that Never Get to Hold You and picking. And we just really loved the way they sang and played together. And I was fortunate enough to see both of them in 1971 at Livonia, Georgia. They were, Don had been playing with Bill Harrell, but Red came back for a couple of years, sort of 1969, 70, 71, and was playing with them. So I saw Don Reno, Bill Harrell and Red Smiley playing together, and I was just really thrilled that I had that opportunity.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah. You get great moments in bluegrass music, don't you?
Yes. Yes, indeed.
I've got all sorts of other questions, but I won't keep you talking too long. These are a bit independent. How do you choose a program from your huge recorded repertoire for a set? Do you always try and include requests, or do you write the set out first, or just pull them out of your head as you're going?
You know, Karina writes all of our sets, and on rare occasion, she, myself, or Kurt Stevenson have written a set, but mostly it's Karina writing all the sets. And sometimes we'll have songs that could be swapped out for requests and that sort of thing, but
yes,
generally the sets are pretty well written out and we go by them.
Yeah.
But inevitably, you know, after we do the first set of the show, somebody has a request, and very often we'll try to accommodate those and work those into the second set. But that's about it. You know, I'm not one of those people that can just get up there and go from one song to the next off the top of my head. If I did that, it would be a disaster. But I've worked for people in the past that have done that. In fact, guys that I played with growing up in a band called Shallow Creek, from when we were 10 years old until I moved to Nashville and we were still playing together, and I was in my mid-20s, we never once had a set list. And Mark Hudson, who was the guitar player and the lead singer, he always came up with them off the cuff, and they were always good sets, and I never could do that. But so I'm grateful to have Karina write the wonderful sets that she does.
Oh, great. Well, I'm with you on that. I definitely agree with that. Okay, a couple of other questions here. Do you have interests outside of music, sport, business, hobbies?
Yeah, I always am interested in something. It seems to change. And sort of the constant in my life is definitely music and things relating to music. So I collect records and I collect instruments and vintage instruments, that is. And but I guess some of the more recent things that have been of interest to me is I've been interested in collecting cast iron cookware.
Yeah.
So I purchase old cast iron skillets and such at yard sales or thrift stores and different kinds of things like that, flea markets and such, and take them home and clean them up and re-season them and and I actually sell them at our shows a good bit. So that's kind of been a hobby for me of late.
Yeah. Are you a good cook?
I do most of our cooking, actually, and I wouldn't claim to be a very good cook, but I enjoy it, and Karina seems to like it too, so it works out quite well. And in fact, right before our phone call here, I had made a batch of mango basil stir fry with Thai rice noodles. So
right.
I'll be looking forward to getting into that here just a little bit later. So.
Oh, it's just late at night or getting into the middle part of the night in the USA. Whereas it here, I'm in the afternoon the next day. Thursday is looking good, I'm telling you that now. That's advance warning for you.
Okay, glad to know it.
It's interesting, Alan Rhodes, the guitarist and lead singer in my Hamilton County Bluegrass Band, he loves cooking too, and he does all the cooking in the family. I'm a terrible cook, but as I live by myself, I have to eat my own cooking, so it's not worth complaining because it's never going to get any better. Do you listen to other performers and note what they're doing musically?
You know, generally, we try to be aware of that, because especially when we're planning a new record, so that same goes for me with this solo album. The same goes for our High Fidelity albums or any album that we do. We sort of make sure we're kind of aware of what other groups in bluegrass have recently recorded or ever recorded, because we usually really try to do songs, especially if we're choosing old material, which we generally do with High Fidelity, and I would generally do very often myself, except for these couple of new songs.
Yes.
We try to do things that have not been done so that they're fresh.
Yes.
And so we usually scour the internet and the different music websites and platforms to make sure that nothing that we're planning to record has been done in recent years.
I need to ask you about High Fidelity at present. I know Vicky Vaughan has left, or she's playing with Della May. So does that mean you have a different bass player now?
Oh, no. No, Vicky's still very much a part of High Fidelity. We have the same members that we've had all along.
Oh, fantastic.
We have maybe a little bit different business model than a lot of groups, you know. We've always valued being able to have diversity in music. So, for us, that means being able to do other things other than just High Fidelity.
Yes.
So, and Vicky, she's a hard worker, and she enjoys being able to go out there and play as much as she possibly can, and as much as possible, we try to coordinate our calendars so that Vicky's able to be there for all of our dates, as well as Della May's dates and anyone else she's playing with. It's been tough this year because of dates being carried over from last year, and they've fallen on different weekends. There's been some conflicts where, Vicky wasn't able to be there. And same for all of us. We've had conflicts due to those issues.
Yes.
Amongst all of us. So that's just sort of the hardships of a year that kind of went missing.
Yes.
That was carried over.
But it's opening up for you now, is it?
It is, yes. And then dates are coming in quite a bit for next year as well. I've been checking our calendar for next year, and it looks like we've got a lot of dates kind of spread throughout the year. So we're excited about that.
Well, we're just going to have to try and fit New Zealand in there somewhere, Jeremy, and I'll be at the band. I'll drive you around. I'll be your roadie, except you might have to get someone else to do all the hard work. I don't think...
I want to get some of that grass-fed milk and grass-fed beef that y'all have over there in New Zealand.
Oh, yeah, we do that stuff pretty well, yeah. Well, I've been talking with Jeremy Stevens and... featuring his new album, How I Hear It, and it's just been an absolute privilege talking to him. We better finish up with a tune. Oh, we've listed a whole lot of them. Which one should we?
We could do Yes Sir, That's My Baby. Sort of my solo banjo feature that I just kind of did my thing on, and I've done that one quite a bit, performed it in contests, and it's been a good tune for me in that way, and I just wanted to be sure I got it on the album. It's one that I very often feature on stage as well on our shows.
Oh, well, that's a good one to do. In these days, there's no such thing as a local radio show, so even though this show is made in Hamilton, New Zealand, which seems to you to be a very long, long way away, it goes out on several different stations in New Zealand. It goes out on several stations in Canada. It goes out on Bluegrass Planet Radio in the USA, but it's a podcast as well. And I think I get most of my listenership from people tuning in on podcasts. And I get lots of letters from people in the USA who say they enjoy the music that I play and just the way I do my shows. So hopefully there'll be people out there that will be listening to this interview and say, we must make a point of going to see High Fidelity at a concert soon, and we'll talk to Jeremy and say what a nice interview it was. So we're not totally removed from the USA and your home scene, so I hope that's good news for you.
Oh, most definitely. And for folks that want to come and see us, see High Fidelity, you can see our schedule at highfidelitybluegrass.com. You can purchase High Fidelity's records also there at highfidelitybluegrass.com. My record can be purchased at my website, jeremystevensmusic.com as well.
Well, that all sounds very good. I have been absolutely delighted to talk to you, Jeremy. It's been a real thrill for me, and I'm sure it's made real good listening for my listeners. So let's go out with Yes, Sir, That's My Baby, Jeremy Stevens. Well, I hope you all enjoyed that. I certainly enjoyed talking to Jeremy and finding out just how he goes about putting together an album, I suppose, and putting together all the music on the album. Oh, let's have a big hello to all the people listening on podcast. Thanks very much for tuning into Back Porch Bluegrass. I really appreciate the fact that you take the trouble to tune in, and I hope you enjoy the music that we play on it. It's not often that I get to do an interview like this. Most of the time I'm just playing regular bluegrass music from my shelves, and I've often featured the band High Fidelity, and it was great that Jeremy consented to an interview to go with his new album. How I Hear It is the name of the album. So big welcome to those listening on access radio stations throughout New Zealand too. I hope you're enjoying it. We're currently at different levels of lockdown. The city of Auckland is in sort of the most severe level of lockdown, so there's not much happening up there. And we really feel for you. Further south in Hamilton and the rest of New Zealand, we're in level 2 lockdown, which means we're almost at normal life, but there's a lot of restrictions and we can't have crowds and that sort of thing, so we don't have concerts, so there's a frustration there. I'm going to play another track from the album because I really enjoy this particular one too, and we're getting close to the end of the show. Let's hear I'll Be Happy in My Home. This is featuring Paul Brewster singing lead, and the good thing about it is the song was co-written by Bud and Willie Brewster. Willie Brewster is Paul's dad, and they performed it so many years ago, and it's great that Jeremy selected Paul to sing on this. Let's have a listen to it.
Golden mansions by the million, angels singing round the throne. I'll live there for endless ages, I'll be happy in my home.
find that Jesus saved me. He heard my meek and humble prayer. Was then the time I had a vision, and this is what I saw up there. Golden mansions by the million, angels singing round the throne. I'll live there for endless ages, I'll be happy in my home. One night I dreamed I went to heaven. I saw Jesus first of all, and then I went to meet my loved ones, and this is part of what I saw. Golden mansions by the millions, angels singing round the throne. I'll live there for endless ages, I'll be happy in my home.
Well, thanks very much for tuning into Back Porch Bluegrass. I really appreciate the fact that you listened in. And next time, we'll probably just have a more normal type show. And we might even get to play another Jeremy Stevens tune. See you later. Bye.
I'll live there for endless ages. I'll be happy in my home.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.